Blog Talk Radio.
An all-access football exclusive.
Back at it again, baby! It's another edition, brand new, week number 6. Fantasy Football Insiders, this is how we do it. October 18th. 2009, broadcasting from New York. Yankee baseball, have you dancing in the streets over here? That's what we've been doing. But this is Fantasy Football Insiders. This is week number 6, and this is all about football. It's all about you. You got questions, we got answers. Get down in the live chat room. You know who we are: Rick Serratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini, bringing it to you each and every week, going around the league of mystery, intrigue, stud duds, and sleeper style. Fellas, how are you this morning?
Very good, Rick. Jersey roots, global reach, baby. Ready for some Sunday action.
Hey, guys, another cold, damp Sunday. Let's lace them up.
Let's do it, and let's get off to a good start for those of you down in the chat room. Want to give a shout-out to you. I've posted some Sunday morning blotter, some fodder, for you guys to get some updates, some last-second advice, maybe some news and notes that you missed along the week. Ben Watson was one for me that I completely overlooked. He will be out. There's a whole bunch of updates there. And for more extended updates, we're going to turn it over to our insiders. Started off with Ross Mandel. What do you got for us, sir?
All right, Rick, let's go position by position here in the fantasy world. In the quarterback realm, we got, Eli still, he's going to suffer from that plantar fasciitis all season. They're going to keep him limited in practice, but he should be okay to play in the big showdown today. He's going to have flare-ups, but he'll be playing. His status is always worth monitoring, but he's going to go. Ralph's favorite, Mark Bulger, will play today, recovering from that concussion. He's got a good matchup, but at the end of the day, he's still Mark Bulger. Matthew Stafford, probably not going to play today, guys. Dante Culpepper going to get another run out there, and it's not going to be good for even more reasons, which we'll cover later. Rick, your boy, Donovan McRib, will play with the flak jacket today again, but he will play, and he's got a tasty matchup. He should be just fine. Running backs, Rashard Mendenhall. There was back and forth between newspapers and websites and rumors and innuendo all week that he was very sick and might not play, but he's fine. He's over whatever illness he had, probably a 24-hour bug. He's going to start today. Willie Parker will see some time, but that turf toe is apparently still bothering him, so monitor his status. Karell Buckhalter will play. His ankle's okay, but again, no Sean Marino. Going to get the start and probably the majority of the carries there. Clinton Portis, when is he not banged up? He should be good to go despite the calf injury he's got. And then in New Orleans, you have the tandem of Mike Bell and Pierre Thomas. Bell's knee is okay. He practiced fully Friday. He's good to go. And Pierre Thomas also good to go. So they have both their running backs ready for the big battle of the undefeateds this afternoon. Wide receivers, Rick, your guy TJ Houshmandzadeh says he's feeling better than he has all year. His back is okay. He's been using that as a reason why he hasn't been as productive, although he is getting the targets, so who knows. Michael Crabtree, not hurt other than his ego, probably signing that contract. The Niners say he will play 12 to 15 snaps after coming off the bye week, so look out rest of the NFL for Crabtree, huh? Now, in Detroit, Dante Culpepper is probably not going to have Calvin Johnson. I mean, he missed practice Friday with his knee and thigh injuries. He's questionable. I don't know if he's going to give it a go or not, but it's definitely worth taking a look at those last-minute injury reports and the inactive list, because if you have Calvin Johnson in there and he doesn't play, that's a killer. One guy not on the injury report, I'm thankful to report because I have him in about 3 leagues, is Wes Welker. He's healthy. He's ready to go. He'll play. He's going to get a ton of receptions today in New England. Percy Harvin's questionable, but he practiced Friday, so I would expect to see him in there, and he'll be helping out the Vikings today in a game where they're going to need him. Jericho Cotchery's doubtful. I don't think he's going to play with that hamstring for the Jets. As Rick mentioned, a tight end, Ben Watson, is unlikely to play at all. And Arizona, not that they use the tight end at all, but Ben Patrick is back from his 4-game suspension. And the best for last, the Cleveland Browns kicker, Dawson, still out. Cundiff still in. Huge news in Cleveland, guys.
Thank you for that update, Ross. And Calvin Johnson, there's a player just killing my fantasy team. I have to bench him this week in favor of Terrell Owens.
Oof.
What are you going to do? Let's turn it over to the good Reverend Ralph Mancini, fresh out of churches, donning the cloth.
Yeah, I think Ross covered most of them. I'm just going to quickly go through a couple of big names that are going to be out. Over on the defensive side of the ball, Gaines Adams will not play. He was recently traded just a couple of days ago to the Chicago Bears. He still needs to pass his physical, and the Bears need to release a player to make room for him. Brandon Albert, for the offensive tackle for the Kansas City Chiefs, has an ankle problem. He will not play, and interestingly, Chris Samuels, the tackle on the other side for the Redskins, also will not play. Brandon Jackson, the running back for Green Bay, will play. He practiced all week. He will back up Ryan Grant. Steve Breston has that knee problem, that sprained PCL, hasn't been himself, but he will play. Nate Burleson, probable, he will play, had a bit of a back problem earlier in the week. Robert Royal for the Cleveland Browns, he will play, for the four people out there that have him on your fantasy leagues, in your fantasy leagues. As Rick mentioned, Ben Watson will not play. Chaz Schillens is a game-time decision for the Raiders. And Patrick Kearney will return from a groin injury. And finally, Matt Light and James Butler, Light for the Patriots and Butler for the Rams, are both very doubtful. And Kevin Boss practiced fully this past week. He will play.
Fantasy Football Insiders Radio, this is how we do it each and every week, 8:30 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time on the Fantasy Sports Channel. You want to check that out, www.fsc.fm. I'm your host, Rick Saratella. I'm joined by Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini, the Daily Dose Boys. You can check them out on NFLDraftBible.com. A lot of good draft information coming out as we get closer to the draft. And we're going to turn it over now to the chat room. Got to give a shout-out to all my chat room peeps. If you're listening to us on iTunes or another application, you can go to blogtalkradio.com or fantasysportschannel.com, fsc.fm. Sign up. Get yourself a free user account. It takes all of 5 to 10 seconds to sign up, and you can get down in the chat room. I think you can even get down as a guest now. You may not even have to sign up. You can skip that whole process. I don't really know. I see a lot of guests. I see some usual suspects. But we're going to turn it over now to guest 51, Ross. Flex play this week, Bernard Berrien or Pierre Thomas. Who do you like?
Wow. Both guys, you know, part of pretty large-sized committees as far as the receiving core in Minnesota and the running back situation with Bush and Mike Bell in New Orleans. I'm going to go with Pierre Thomas on this one just because I think once the ball gets inside the 10, he's got more of a chance to score than anyone else in that team, despite what Mike Bell might think. So I'm going to go with Pierre Thomas in this one. I think there's going to be plenty of opportunity for him, and you never know, Berrien might have a three catches for a 46-yard day, and I tend to shy away from that, but Thomas has been looking good and consistent when he plays, and he's going to play today, so I'd go with him.
Yeah, it's all about the upside. I think Thomas is going to get more touches, more touchdown opportunities, and then over there in Minnesota, you got Percy Harvin emerging. You got Sidney Rice. Looks like he may be finally ready to step up and take the next splash into becoming a good wide receiver. That should be continued, remain to be seen. Ralph, touchdown league, who has a better chance to throw more touchdowns this week, Matthew Schaub against the Bengals, Aaron Rodgers against the Lions?
Oh, that would have to be Aaron Rodgers against the Lions. The Lions are giving up a league high 15 touchdowns via the pass. I have Aaron Rodgers ranked number one on my list of quarterbacks this week.
Yeah, it's hard to go against Aaron Rodgers against the Lions. I mean, I think he would be good for 2 to 3 touchdowns like you're requesting there. Ross, Ran Genius, no relation to Man Genius, wants to know who's going to give up less points, the Packers defense or the Jets defense? There's a good one for you.
Wow. Taking a look outside, you know, all things being equal, I don't like the way the weather looks here, and I don't like the way that the Buffalo offense looks. You know, at least Detroit put up a fight, put up some points against a pretty good defense in Pittsburgh last year. you know, garbage time doesn't matter. You know, at the end, all that matters is what the points are on the board. And watching Buffalo all season, I can't see where the points are coming from today against a fired up, ready for taking out their emotions on someone Jet defense. So I'm going to say the Jet defense. I can't even imagine Buffalo scoring more than a touchdown today.
Yeah, I might agree with you there. I mean, the Jets are going to be angry. The weather outside is nasty. The Bills just don't have any kind of offensive flow whatsoever. I have yet to see anything that even resembles an offense from that team. So, you know, I think the Jets are going to be the better fantasy play for today. In case you don't know, this is Fantasy Football Insiders Radio, broadcasting on the Fantasy Sports Channel. And we go around the league, stud duds and sleeper style. Keep the questions coming in from the chat room. If you want to dial in, 973-941-5959. Nope, that's my number. I'm sorry. 347-945-6275.
You're going to want to call
all those people that want to call in. And all the ladies that were listening, now you have my number. 347-945-6275 if you want to dial in, hit down. In the chat room, we'll be answering your questions. We've got another defensive question coming in, Ralph. Jets or Philly defense this week? We just discussed the Jets going up against the Bills. What about Philadelphia, who I believe also has a very easy matchup this week?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with the Jets just because I think that they're going to probably generate more turnovers, more sacks. The Jets and Philly both have aggressive defenses. I just think that the Jets, they're just smarting over that loss they had last week versus Miami. They're going up against a division rival. I just think that the Jets are going to generate more big plays than Philly this week.
Okay. Seattle versus Arizona, guys. Ross, I'm going to toss this one out to you. I don't know if we have any on the spot updates. Seattle, is that a retractable dome out there?
I don't think it is, Rick.
Okay,
I don't think the weather's going to be a factor, but I'll check on the dome. I don't think it is.
All right, so then you know, maybe somebody's trying to be a funny guy in the chat room. That's cool. The Yankees won last night. I'll roll with the flow. Let's go into our first matchup of the week. Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini, breaking it down for you now. Houston Texans, 2-3, heading into Cincinnati, where the Bengals have reversed their fortune and are now 4-1. Ocho Cinco talking about doing some crowd surfing over there, Ross.
Well, you know, the Ocho might find the end zone this week. Look, this is going to be a pretty interesting game. Houston's a Jekyll and Hyde team, and we really don't know about Cincinnati. You know, everyone's saying, oh, they could be 5-0 if it weren't for that one play. Well, you know, they could be 1-4 if it weren't for a couple of plays that they made. So let's settle down with the if. The studs in this game, I don't care what Cincinnati did, you know, in shutting down Greg Jennings or Braylon Edwards. Andre Johnson is going to get his, and he's a must-start every week. I think everybody knows that, as is Matt Schaub at this point. For the Bengals, Cedric Benson, the NFL's leading rusher, who thought that you'd ever hear that, he's going to find it very easy to exploit Houston's 26-ranked run defense. They're giving up like .141, and they've yielded 9 touchdowns on the ground this year that the Texans have. So I like him. And I think, you know, Ocho has a pretty good matchup against a vulnerable Houston secondary. A lot of points to be had here for Cincy. The dud in this game, guys, I hate to say it, but Steve Slayton. He has not been running well. The interior of the offensive line in Houston is banged up. And for whatever reason, they're giving Chris Brown the goal line carries. You know, I've seen Slayton fail in a couple of third and ones. That might be why, but Brown hasn't exactly gotten it done. So Slayton's got to be devalued a little bit. And, you know, the Bengals defense is playing well. I think a sleeper here might be Kevin Walter. Houston's going to be throwing the ball all day, but as far as I'm concerned, and that makes Walter a decent bye week fill-in, since a lot of the attention is going to be given to Andre Johnson, although it will be in vain. I think that Walter's a decent bye week fill-in this week.
All right, we're going to go back over to the chat rooms and then to the phone lines. Ralph, Reggie Bush or Derek Ward this week. Looks like a battle of the backup decision to be made here. Who would you roll with, Reggie Bush or Derek Ward, sir?
I think the upside is with Reggie Bush. Personally, I like Derek Ward better as a runner. It's just that right now, Cadillac Williams is going to be getting most of the totes out there in Tampa Bay. And with Reggie Bush, he is with the better offense. He has a better chance of scoring. So, and you know that Reggie Bush, even though he's not a great runner, you know he's going to get his fair share of passes thrown his way. So I think the upside here is with Reggie Bush.
I'll go with that. Ross, a couple weeks ago, you were touting David Garrard as a big slinger. How do you like his chances this week going up against St. Louis?
Oh, I kind of like them a lot, but, you know, they're playing the Rams, so how can I not? The studs in this one are the running backs, though, Rick. I mean, I think Garrard will have a good game, but I'm looking after Maurice Jones-Drew went off, and considering that he's playing the St. Louis run defense, which is not that stellar, I think Maurice Jones-Drew is going to go off today. And for all the flack that Steven Jackson's been taking, and I know he hasn't scored a touchdown, he does have the second most yards from scrimmage to Cedric Benson in the league this year, and Jacksonville's run defense is nothing special. I think the freaky touchdownless streak of Steven Jackson ends today. And you know our guy Mike Sims-Walker is going to be raring to go after being benched last week for, let's say, disciplinary reasons for the Jags. And I don't know how many people that killed, but the Reverend was nice enough to give me an alert on the old mobile phone with about 5 minutes left to kick off, and I swapped him out of my lineup. So thanks for that, Rev. Dud here, I don't care how bad Jacksonville's defense is, guys. Mark Bolger's a dud. Look.
Well, Ross, let me go back to Steve Slayton because you mentioned him earlier, and you know we got a question. Would you, since you're down on Slayton this week, would you actually consider benching him for Nate Burleson?
Yes, I would consider it, but it's tough. It's tough. You know what? Depending on what else I have at wide receiver, if that's a flex play, I think I might actually do that. I don't like Slayton lately. I don't like the way he's been running, and I don't like the interior of that line at all. They're banged up, and I think they're going to get their hay made by the air today, guys. I don't like Slayton today.
I don't know. I don't know if I would mention Slayton for Burleson. That's just me personally. One more from the chat room before we head over to the phone lines. Ralph, Bernard Berrien or No. Sean Moreno in point per reception league?
Well, I love Bernard Berrien this week. You know, Baltimore is giving up the most amount of pass plays of 20-plus yards, but No. Sean Moreno has a great matchup versus that San Diego defense that can just not stop anybody. We saw them, how horribly they performed versus Rashard Mendenhall a couple of weeks ago. I'm going to have to go with No. Sean Moreno here.
Yeah, he could have as many catches as Berrien or more.
I agree. No. Sean Moreno is time to ride it while the time is right, and that's what No. Sean Moreno is going to be a guy that plays a key factor for a lot of fantasy football teams. And it's time to go over to the phone lines. I think we got a Jersey sighting in the house here.
Uh-oh.
Yo, guys, it's Jersey, man, from South Jersey. How you doing?
South nice. Jersey. I don't like that Eagles country. Go ahead, though.
Hey, quick question. Two questions. One for me, one for my son. My son plays college ball at D3 to rank 23rd in the nation, Del Valle. My question for my team is, I got Green Bay Packers defense and I have Minnesota. I normally go with Minnesota. They're my team every week. Green Bay was going to be my bye week team when Minnesota wasn't there. But the matchups, what's your feeling between you got Baltimore going against Minnesota and Minnesota, and you got Detroit against Green Bay? Who do you feel I should start? I mean, any advice there?
I definitely go with the Packers in that one. I think Baltimore has offensive potential to put something up on the board. I don't know that I completely trust Minnesota, and I know that Green Bay is going to get some work done today.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm 5-0 in that league, and I'm missing Manning, I'm missing Clark. I'm going with Favre and stuff, so I kind of want to stay undefeated in the standard league, so I wanted to make sure there. And my son, in his PPR league, he's going with Maurice Jones-Drew, but he has three other backs he's got to pick one of from as his second back. He's got, I heard you talk about Reggie Bush. He has Reggie Bush, he has Jonathan Stewart, and he has Ahmad Bradshaw. Of course, Ahmad went off last week for him, which was great because Drew didn't. So which one of those three, Ahmad Bradshaw, Stewart, or Reggie Bush, PPR league, do you recommend?
Yeah, I think you got to stick with Bradshaw just by the way that he's been running this season. Bush hasn't been really included, and you never know with Stewart. He could get in the end zone twice on six carries, or he could have 10 carries for, you know, 40 yards and no touchdowns. But the way Bradshaw's looked, I don't see how you put him on the bench between those three people.
Do you hear, is Calvin Johnson going to be out this week? I have him in my other league because I'm going to start Hester and Andre Johnson in a PPR. Does it look like Calvin Johnson's going to be out? If so, I want to pick up either Collie or Austin to have for next week because you can't pick somebody up when they're on the bye week. You can only pick them up when they're injured and you put them on IR. So I'd have up until about, what, maybe 12:50 to grab one.
Miles Austin is still a free agent in your league?
Yeah, I just picked him up in my standard league. I'm 5-0 in as my fourth receiver.
I'm benching Calvin Johnson for Terrell Owens this week because I have no better choices. If Miles Austin is out there, go snatch him up. Calvin Johnson doesn't look like he's going to play this week.
Okay. I'll pick him. Because I'll use him next week because you never know what Hester's going to do. And I have Andre Johnson. So if Calvin Johnson's out, I could use Miles Austin next week. Thanks, guys. I really appreciate your advice. I'll give my son a call around 10 o'clock when he wakes up from college and tell him to put in my Brad song. Best of luck to you guys this weekend, and thanks again for your input, and enjoy your day.
Absolutely. We appreciate it. That's Jersey Joe. No official word if that's Flacco or not, but, you know, and just following up on the Miles Austin thing, I mean, you pick him up, he has another hot week, and then when you guys get healthy, you trade Miles Austin, you bring in the heavy artillery, and you said you're 5-0. Well, hey, I like to smash the competition too. So that's just how we get down. And moving right along, we got another question coming in from the chat, guys. Need to start two players, Steve Jackson, Ray Rice, Chris Johnson. Got a loaded team there. Ralph, who do you like between Steven Jackson, Ray Rice, and Chris Johnson? Who's the odd man out there?
You know, I think probably this week you're going to have to – I think Ray Rice is the guy I like the least out of these three just for this week. You know, I think if Baltimore is going to move the ball, going to score any points, they're going to have to go deep today. They're going to have to throw the ball long, which means that Ray Rice might have an okay day, but not a spectacular day. I would go with the other two options.
Ross, wide receiver question for you. He's looking to pick up a guy, Bryant Johnson, Sims Walker, Joshua Cribbs. I think he said Jacoby Jones is out there. Any one of those guys, I know Sims Walker was benched last week, but any one of those guys, Bryant Johnson, Sims Walker, Cribbs, does any one of those guys stick out to you?
Oh, Sims Walker should, I don't see how he's available, but you got to pick him up immediately if it's those three guys. I mean, he's head and shoulders above them.
All right, there you have it. Ralph, touchdown league, two running backs needed. Adrian Peterson, obviously, poor performance lately, but you don't sit Adrian Peterson. So then let me ask you this, Ralph, between Kevin Smith, who plays Green Bay, Ray Rice, who plays Minnesota, or Turf Toe Johnny against Tampa Bay, who do you like of those three players, Kevin Smith, Ray Rice, Jonathan Stewart? I'm going to tell you right now you play Adrian Peterson.
Absolutely. You have to play Adrian Peterson, no doubt about it. I would sit Kevin Smith versus Green Bay. I haven't liked what I've seen out of Smith lately. Doesn't look as mobile as he used to in some of his better performances. It's going to come down between Rice and Stewart. I'm probably going to go with Rice. I think he's going to get a few more touches. I think he's going to get a few more passes thrown his way. I don't love Ray Rice this week, but I would take him and Adrian Peterson among that quartet that you presented to us.
I agree. Ross, PPR league, which player do you bench, Donald Driver or Greg Jennings, going up against Detroit this week?
Tough one, but I bench Driver.
Okay, guys, this is the Fantasy Football Insiders radio show. Rick Seratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini. Breaking it down for you each and every week, 8:30 to 10 a.m. Eastern on the Fantasy Sports Channel. Definitely check that out, www.fsc.fm. We are streaming live fantasy football, fantasy sports, fantasy blogs. Go there, log on, check it out, www.fsc.fm. And, you know, I'm joined by Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini. You want to check them out on NFLDraftBible.com. I heard that website was really, really good. Okay, let's see. What's next? PPR League, Sims Walker, DeSean Jackson, Santana Moss. Any thoughts there, Ross?
Oh, brother. And how many are startable? Is it just one?
Pick one. PPR League, you got Sims Walker, you got DeSean Jackson, too cool for school, or you got Santana Moss.
Wow. I'm going to stick with Sims Walker. I don't think the Eagles are going to be throwing it as much as they normally would today against basically a Division III team in Oakland that they're playing. I'm going to go with Sims Walker today.
I'm gonna actually chime in here and say I'm going to go DeSean Jackson. You got Jeremy Maclin taking over the starting job from Kevin Curtis, only a second career start, going up against the Raiders defense. And, yeah, I know they got a pretty good passing defense, so they say. But I think McNabb is going to be airing it out, winging it out there. I'm going to go DeSean Jackson over Sims Walker.
Yeah,
Ralph,
I don't think that's crazy.
There?
I don't think that's crazy.
Well, you know, I think teams have figured out that if they double or triple team DeSean Jackson – you know, Macklin's just going to go off, so they have to play those Eagles receivers honest.
All right, Ralph, let me ask you this one. Ray Rice or Marshawn Lynch in a PPR league? I think that one's relatively easy. Are we in agreement, Ray Rice there?
Yes, I'm going with Ray Rice here.
Yeah, I think he's going to have a better day than Rev does. I think he'll probably rush for about 80, 90 yards, and he'll have like 30, 40 yards receiving. I think he's over 100 total yards today.
All right, Fantasy Football Insiders, time to get back to some matchups, stud duds and sleeper style, and the game we've been talking about, the Detroit Lions, 1-4 heading into Green Bay, 2-2. What do you got for us there, Reverend?
Yeah, the one thing you have to know here is that the Detroit Lions cannot stop opposing quarterbacks. Quarterbacks going against Detroit are completing over 73% of their throws. So you start all your primary Packers in this one, Aaron Rodgers, Grant, Driver, Jennings. The guy I want to focus on here is Greg Jennings. I like Jennings in particular here. You know, he's been inconsistent so far this year, but the Packers' offensive line is getting healthier this week with the return of Chad Clifton at left tackle, giving Aaron Rodgers more time to look deep for number 85. The Lion cornerbacks, William James, Anthony Henry, they're old on the slow side. I think they're going to have trouble staying with Jennings. And as I mentioned before, the Lions are giving up a league-high 15 passing touchdowns. So you go with Jennings and the rest of those Packers I mentioned before. You know, as far as duds go, initially I was going to go with the Lion quarterbacks, and it looks like it's going to be Culpepper who's going to be starting. But the more I think of it, the more I see Culpepper putting together some yardage in garbage time. So if you need him as a bye week filler, I don't think he's the worst option in the world to go with. Instead, as my dud, I'm going to go with Kevin Smith. You know, Green Bay's defense did a good job of keeping Adrian Peterson in check 2 weeks ago, and Kevin Smith hasn't been himself in recent weeks. He's lacking that big-time burst, that lateral movement. In addition, Detroit has struggled running the ball versus 3-4 defenses, and I think they should fall behind early in this game. As far as sleepers go, I'm going to go with JerMichael Finley here. I think he should be involved as a pass receiver with that better pass protection that Green Bay has. And I think he might be in line for a short touchdown pass. And also, another sleeper here is Dennis Northcutt. You know, we mentioned that Calvin Johnson probably won't play. So I think Northcutt is a guy who might be able to do some damage in garbage time. Had 5 catches and 1 touchdown versus Pittsburgh last week, and he's very good at finding seams to run through in the defense. Overall, though, I'm going to go with Green Bay here. I think they win this game 34-16.
Okay, there you have it. Back over to the chat room for a question. Ross, PPR League, Vincent Jackson or Nate Burleson, sir?
Wow, good questions. I think I'm going to go with Burleson on this one. He's really hot right now, and I like the way, obviously, Denver's defense has been playing, although I think San Diego will be taken to the air a lot. I think it's close, but I'll ride the ultra-hot Nate Burleson here.
Okay, let's get in another quick stud duds and sleepers while we can. Ross, we discussed David Garrard earlier. Let's talk about the St. Louis Rams, 0-5, still searching for that first W. Steve Spags getting some gray hairs over there in St. Louis. Traveling into the Jaguars, where they were just completely bamboozled and embarrassed last week by the Seahawks, 41-0, sitting at 2-3, Del Rio on the hot seat. Why don't you break it down for the people now?
All right, well, we started here. I was discussing Steven Jackson, Maurice Jones-Drew, and Mike Sims-Walker as the primary studs in this game. I think they're going to get some fantasy points. And I was just discussing, look, I know Jacksonville's pass defense is just awful, but I have more faith in their pass defense than I do in Mark Bulger's ability to overcome it and put fantasy points on the board, guys. I the Bulger experiment is over as far as I'm concerned. It's done. They need to go in a new direction. I don't know that Kyle Bulger is necessarily the answer, and I know someone's got to play, but, boy, I mean, as Rev said, I'd almost rather have Dante Culpepper in there this week than Mark Bulger. You look at for a sleeper in this game, look, when you have a bye week, I know a lot of teams, myself included, I don't carry two tight ends during the season, but when it comes to pick one up on a bye week, I think you could do worse than Mercedes Lewis. Just because, not necessarily of the fact that he's a consistent performer, but St. Louis is consistently poor against opposing tight ends in fantasy football, and I think you could do a lot worse than him as a bye week fill-in. I think the Rams keep this game close for the first half, but I think it's going to be too much Maurice Jones-Drew, and I see Jacksonville winning 27-20 here.
Okay, breaking it down, moving right along. Ralph, big question from the chat room. We were discussing Macklin and the whole Eagles situation, and Dwayne Bowe, who's been rumored on the trade block. There was a rumor circulating that the Ravens had offered a second and fifth round pick in exchange for Dwayne Bowe. So far, that's not true, but he is someone who is in question in Kansas City, really didn't get off to a great start, hasn't really been producing. So, Ralph, let me ask you this, Dwayne Bowe or Jeremy Macklin this week?
I'm going to go with Dwayne Bowe. I mean, you can say what you want about Bowe, maybe not producing to the levels we all expect him to. Dwayne Bowe is the go-to guy there in Kansas City. The guy is very talented. I mean, we saw him make a spectacular catch, touchdown catch, last week versus Dallas. You know, I love him this week versus the Redskins. The Redskins, despite their decent numbers in the secondary, they don't impress me. Their defensive backs don't impress me at all. I'm going to go with Dwayne Bowe.
Well, I'm going to tell you like this. I think Dwayne Bowe is the safer pick. I think Jeremy Macklin has more upside. So depending, if you're a team that's got a nice secure lead, if you're 4-1, 5-0, I go Macklin. If you if you really need a W, want to play it safe, conservative, go Dwayne Bowe. But I'm not telling you that Jeremy Macklin's a great wide receiver. But Ralph, as you just mentioned, you know, DeSean Jackson could see double, triple team coverage. Jeremy Macklin runs that go route, could be good for a touchdown or two, a bomb, long play, who knows. But I think Jeremy Macklin has the more upside here. Speaking of fantasy disappointments this season, Greg Olsen, Ross, has really been disappointing once again. This was supposed to be the year that he steps up. Not so. So the question is here, do you actually consider dropping Greg Olsen at this point for Jermichael one-game Finley, sir?
I wouldn't drop him for Finley just because I think that once Cutler gets a little more settled down and realizes what he has there in Olsen, that he'll find him more often. The Bears keep saying we're going to get him more involved, but I haven't seen it happen yet. But I'd need to see more of a consistent performance from Jermichael Finley to even consider doing that at this point. I have to see more. If Jermichael Finley throws up a couple of more outstanding games and Olsen continues to have 1 and 2 receptions per game, then I might consider it. But, not bad to drop someone else and have them both on your roster. But right now I'd hang on to Olsen.
Yeah, I wouldn't drop Olsen just yet. Finley's a guy that's been on our radar coming out of college, but you got to remember, he was only 19 when he declared, and he came out as a 19-year-old kid, raw. They knew he was going to be a 3-year developmental project. This is year 2 of that process. So the big knock on him is inconsistency, or should I say consistency. So, yeah, I want to drop Greg Olsen yet. Hold on to him. We're going to keep it moving here on Fantasy Football Insiders Radio on the Fantasy Sports Channel. This is how we do it each and every week, 8:30 to 10 a.m. Check them out, www.fsc.fm. I'm with the Daily Dose Boys, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini of the NFL Draft Bible.com. Check that out. And I am your host, Rick Saratella. We're going to keep it moving here. Those 5-0 Vikings, boy, oh, boy, the defense is looking ferocious. Going up against the Ravens, 3-2, a little smash-mouth football in Minnesota this week, Ralph.
Yeah, it's a big game for Baltimore. They need to bounce back. Let's go through the studs here. I like Bernard Berrien here. You know, as I mentioned before, Baltimore is giving up a lot of big plays in the passing game. And if you plug in Berrien as your number three wide receiver this week, I think he has a chance to make some big plays versus the uninspiring cornerback duo of Fabian Washington and Dominique Foxworth. Also, I like Todd Heap here as a stud. Had 9 targets, caught 7 balls last week. This week he faces a Viking defense that is giving up the greatest amount of fantasy points to tight ends over the past month. I think you can all remember what JerMichael Finley did to the Purple People Eaters on Monday Night Football. Also, start both quarterbacks. They're both studs. The dud here is Willis McGahee. You know, when you combine the fact that McGahee only had 2 touches last week with the fact that he is going to have a matchup versus a Minnesota defense that has yet to allow a touchdown to an opposing running back, I think that spells trouble. Ray Rice should continue getting more action due to his ability to catch the ball. So Willis McGahee is a guy I would leave on the bench this week. And as far as sleepers go, I'm going to go with Mark Clayton. You know, Flacco is barely missing with this guy on some potential big plays. In fact, Flacco overthrew Clayton on one play that could have resulted in a 50-yard touchdown last week. The Vikings safeties are vulnerable to double moves. Go with Clayton as your deep sleeper. I like Baltimore to bounce back here, 27-25, in sort of an offensive shootout here.
Wow, interesting prediction, and let me follow up with this question for you, Ralph. You mentioned the Ravens to win. Would you consider this is a performance league now, 75% performance, 25% touchdown, which I'm interpreting as big play potential counts more. So who's going to break off the big plays this week? Will it be Ray Rice against Minnesota? Will it be Rashard Mendenhall against Cleveland, who's going to start? Willie Parker returns, but Mendenhall will get the start there going against Cleveland. Great matchup. Or will it be Thomas Jones in the sleet and mud of the Meadowlands? Who do you like there, Ralph?
I love Thomas Jones this week, but I think I'm going to go with Mendenhall just because I think he's going to see more carries than those other two guys we mentioned. So I think he has the bigger chance of getting that big play that you're looking for in your performance league.
Yeah, Rashard Mendenhall, he's going to get his share of the touches. You know, Mike Tomlin said he's going to use a feature back, not a committee style. So Mendenhall, I look for him to get fed 20 touches, which means he may bust one loose. Thomas Jones, he's going to be consistent and steady. He's going to get his yardage, and he's going to get his touchdowns. But if you're looking for the big play, that honor for the Jets will go to Leon Washington, not Thomas Jones. So if you're looking for big play, Mendenhall is the guy there. Ray Rice going up against Minnesota, I'm not so sure there's big play potential there. That defense is looking ferocious, as we just mentioned. Ralph, taking a little flack for your Todd Heap as a stud selection. Is he back? Is it the return of the Mac?
Well, hey, look, you know, well, I don't think Baltimore is going to be able to run the ball, so they're going to have to throw it. You know, and Todd Heap is a reliable possession guy at tight end. So why not?
All right, Ross, more questions coming into the chat room. Need 2 of these players, Sims Walker, Greg Jennings, Steve Slayton, David Garrard, PPR flex and offensive player. I don't know how that equation fits, but let's rank them. If you need 2 players, let's rank them in order, Ross. Mike Sims Walker, Greg Jennings, Steve Slayton, and then how does David Garrard fit in there, PPR league?
Good Lord. I'm going with Jennings, and I'd probably go with Garrard. And then if you know, I don't know how quarterback-dependent the league is, but I think I would go with those 2 guys. Those would be my first 2.
Ralph, any thoughts there if you had to pick two guys between Sims, Walker, Jennings, Slayton, or Garrard?
I think, Jennings obviously is referring to Greg Jennings. Yeah, I would definitely go with Greg Jennings and Sims Walker here.
Okay, me, it's a point per reception league, but if I can play an extra quarterback, usually I tend towards leaning that way. I don't know. I'm a little bit confused by that question, but I hope we answered it. Ross, how about Jermichael Finley versus Jeremy Shockey?
No.
Not sure that Green Bay needs to throw that much against the Lions, but Shockey and the Saints will be throwing. And, Shockey is fired up against the Giants. This is a non-PPR league, and, Shockey made some comments earlier in the week, so which way are you leaning there?
Well, there's two things I'm certain of in the Giants-Saints game. I'm certain that Jeremy Shockey's fired up, and I'm certain that he's been nagging Drew Brees all week to throw him the ball. And look, when Shockey's healthy, he's productive, and he seems to be pretty healthy, and there's a lot of choices. I think Shockey has a good week this week, and I think he's an easy choice over Finley.
Ralph, need two. Bernard Berrien, Roddy White, Santonio Holmes, need two.
Wow. Santonio Holmes has been a disappointment thus far. I think they are going to try to get him the ball more often this week. However, I think Berrien and Roddy White both have a better chance of putting up better numbers this week, so I'm going to go with Berrien and White.
All right, moving right along, the game that we just discussed, those 5-0 Giants against the 4-0 Saints. Battle of the undefeated, this is the game of the week, and Jeremy Shockey taking on his old battle mates, Ross. Why don't you break it down for the people now?
I know what I'm going to be watching at 1 o'clock. This is a good one. It's going to be interesting. I've Drew Brees, Steve Smith for the Giants, the real Steve Smith, by the way, and Marcus Colston for the Saints are going to get theirs today. But I really think Pierre Thomas is the key here. I think New Orleans is going to run the ball more than people expect them to. I think that's really the only way you're going to beat the Giants in this game, wear them down up front, and I think that means run. I think the brace is off. The hamstring isn't an issue. Mike Bell's breathing down his back. I see Pierre Thomas getting some work done in this game today, in addition to the usual cast of characters for both of these teams. The dud to me is Reggie Bush. Look, this is an amateur hour, guys, in this game. The Giants aren't going to be giving up 60-yard swing passes to Reggie Bush in this game. And really, beyond that, what's he going to bring you? The guy's been a disappointment at best and a flop, quite frankly, at worst. And
he's
I don't think
he's had more success off the field than on the field.
Well, I don't know about that. That's a different argument. But I think that he's a disappointment. And a team like the Giants, I think you scheme him right out of the game. And I don't even think it's that difficult. Being fast isn't enough. He's not playing Stanford. All right, he's playing the Giants, and he's not going to get it done. As I said before, I like Jeremy Shockey. He's a decent sleeper in this game. And the only reason I call him a sleeper is because I think he could have, seven or eight catches for about 80 yards, and he could find the end zone at least once in this game. I love Shockey in this game. I think he's motivated, and he's got the skills. All he's been lacking is motivation. I'm just worried that he's going to get a couple of unsportsmanlike penalties for spiking the ball after he makes a couple of big catches in this game. And I also like Devery Henderson in this game as a sleeper. I think he's a good bye week fill-in. The Giants' pass defense, I'm a little wary of it. They haven't really been challenged by a decent offensive team this year. And when they were, they yielded a lot of yards and points to Dallas, even though they won the game. But I think New Orleans at home with all their weapons intact, I think Devery Henderson is a decent bye week fill-in. And I actually like the Saints in this game, 31-30.
Wow, coming from a Giants fan, where's your heart at?
My heart's at the Super Bowl, baby. They can win the battle. We'll win the war.
Okay, let me ask you this, Ross. Hakeem Nicks, a little bit of a streaky player. Question coming in from the chat room. Brandon Edwards out of Cleveland. He owns Mohamed Masakwa, clear-cut number one guy. But this is a big play league. He wants to know, should he consider dropping Masakwa for Mike Wallace, who's been making some big plays over there in Blitzburg, or Hakeem Nicks is also on the waiver wire. Which guy of the three, Mohamed Masakwa, Mike Wallace or Hakeem Nicks do you think offers the more upside in terms of big play potential?
Excellent question. I actually, you know, this is off the board, but I like the 60-minute man. I like Mike Wallace. I like what I've seen from him. I think Roethlisberger is trusting him more and more, and this guy has got a knack for shaking loose.
Yes.
And I think that's something that Pittsburgh could use, and I think that's something Pittsburgh will use. I like Massaquoi. If you switch the teams around, it would be a different result, but unfortunately for the man out of Georgia, he's stuck in Cleveland. I like Knicks, but Steve Smith is the man there, and I know Pittsburgh has a lot of other weapons, but as far as a huge play potential, I'm going to go with Wallace here. I don't know if you guys agree with that or not, but
I love Mike Wallace. If you watch this guy play, I mean, as you said, he could shake people down. He's got pure deep speed, and, you know, it'll be foolish for Pittsburgh not to go to this guy. I mean, he has big play written all over him.
Okay, another question coming in from the chat room, Sidney Rice or Donnie Avery, and I'm going to chime in, fellas, if you don't mind, because, you know, I actually picked up Donnie Avery last week, and, you know, I did see a comment in the chat room, he's the number one guy, but if you paid attention to how Sidney Rice has played lately, and if you listen to the comments from the opposing teams that face Sidney Rice, you know, I've never been a huge Sidney Rice guy, but I don't know. He could actually finally be turning the corner and becoming a big play guy. And I know Donnie Avery's the number one guy, but if you're trying to pick your number five receiver for the rest of the year, I'm going to go Sidney Rice. Donnie Avery of the Rams, let me tell you something while I'm on the topic. I'm going to give you a deep sleeper here, especially in Dynasty and Keeper Leagues. Keith Null, if you don't know who he is, he's the quarterback of the third-string quarterback for the St. Louis Rams, Keith Null, N-U-L-L. Go pick him up in your Dynasty League. Stash him on your roster for a dollar pickup. This guy's going to be starting in a few weeks for the St. Louis Rams before it's all said and done, after they had their fixing of Mark Bolger, bobblehead, and Kyle Bowler. Keith Null will be playing quarterback. And let me tell you something. The Rams' offense is not going to be scoring many points. So,
yes,
therefore, I'm going to go Sidney Rice over Donnie Avery. I'll let you guys have that.
You know what? I think it comes down to touchdowns. If you like touchdowns, you have to go with Sidney Rice. Yeah, I know Avery is the number one guy. I know he's fast. I know he's young. He has a ton of talent. But who does he have throwing him the ball? And look at that offense around him. You know, I think Avery is a good start this week. But beyond this week, you know, I'd be hard-pressed to really list a number of games that I would be willing to start Avery in this season. You know, Rice gives you a lot more scoring potential.
Yeah, Rev, I mean, Rick and both you guys know, I've been high on Sidney Rice ever since he was at South Carolina. I love the guy. I've been taking a lot of flack the past couple of years for him, but he's coming good now. And when it comes to two guys like this, and I like Avery too, you got to look at the situation they're in and the team that they're on offensively. Minnesota scores and scores. The Rams don't. And I know the Rams pass a lot because they're always behind, but they have no quarterback. And it's just, when your team doesn't have a quarterback, you can't be that confident of the wide receiver week after week. And much as I don't care for Brett Favre, the guy is putting up numbers, and they have a running back. They have many receivers. I know that. They have a lot of weapons, and Avery's really the only one other than Steven Jackson in St. Louis. But the Vikings are just a more potent offensive team, and you have to go with that in my mind. And I would take Sidney Rice 10 times out of 10 here.
And the final thought on that, too, Donnie Avery's been a little banged up, hasn't exactly been healthy. So go with the upside, baby. Let's go Fantasy Football Insiders radio show. This show airs every Sunday morning, 8:30 to 10 a.m. We're still dancing in the streets in New York City over here from the Yankees, making it hard for us to sleep. But it's all about football today, Fantasy Football Insiders, each and every week, 8:30 to 10, Fantasy Sports Channel. Check it out, www.fsc.fm. You want more information, you want football, you want draft, you want NFL, you want college, you want fantasy, you want to just shove football down your throat, go to NFLDraftBible.com. We're going to be feeding you until your belly explodes and your button pops off. So that's just how we get down. That's how we do it each and every week. Rick Saratella here, joined by my superstar co-hosts, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini, moving right along. going around the league, stud duds and sleeper style. For those of you in the chat room, keep bringing the heat, baby. I want to give a special shout-out to my chat room peeps, Aces Up, Avery's, DC10, Gut Feeling Guy, Jokers99, Mark Ronick, always a special shout-out to Director of Programming, Ronick. Ronick, I always mess up your name. I apologize. Oprah, Ogara, Ran Genius, no relation to Man Genius. The good Reverend Ralph is floating around in there as well. Steelhead195, always good to see him. Tubby Tub Tub. And, of course, the official moderator of the Fantasy Football Insiders chat room, our good friend Taz. If you don't know Taz, check out the Fantasy Taz on fantasyfootballwiz.com. More fantasy football information just feeding you. If you're starving this morning, you're going to have a full belly. Okay, guys. Cleveland Browns, 1-4. What's going on with this team? It's a big mess. Going into Pittsburgh, 3-2. Ralph, is this just going to be a big blowout?
Yeah, I think this is going to be one of the big blowouts of the week. I'll tell you, I like Rashard Mendenhall here as a stud. I think he should be safe, despite the return of not-so-fast Willie Parker. The Steelers announced that they are starting Mendenhall despite his illness earlier in the week. He should be good for at least one score versus a defense that has surrendered a league-high 8 touchdowns to running backs. The Pittsburgh offensive line is starting to find a rhythm, and I think they should blow holes through the Browns. I also like Hines Ward as a stud here. Traditionally, he plays well versus Cleveland. He's been consistent all year, while Brown safeties Brodney Poole and Abram Elam have been awful in pass coverage underneath, which is where Ward makes his money. The duds here, Muhammad Masukai, you know, without Braylon Edwards last week, Masukai was shut down with only one catch for 7 yards. On top of that, Troy Polamalu comes back this Sunday, which should make things tough on the Cleveland passing game. Also a dud is Jamal Lewis. You know, he isn't being supported by a strong passing attack, which should allow Pittsburgh defenders to tee off Mr. Lewis. The sweeper here, you know, it's Mr. 60 Minutes here, Mike Wallace. No one expected this rookie to have this type of immediate impact. He has home run speed. He finds openings in zone coverage. Love Mike Wallace. Pittsburgh is just going to romp over Cleveland here, 35-9.
Yeah, Mike Wallace of the 4.3240 infamous speed. I always have these 40 times stuck in my head when I think of these guys. Mike Wallace ran a 4.32, so, you know, when you talk about big play potential, that speed always helps, baby. Speed's a killer, and I'm a thriller, and this is Manila. Here we go, breaking it down, guys. I think we covered this one before. Reggie Bush or Derek Ward, Ross, you want to just recap that one? PPR league.
Yeah, I'm not buying Reggie Bush at all for the Saints today, and I kind of have a sneaky suspicion that Derek Ward is going to see a lot of time today. I'm not high in the Cadillac. I think Derek Ward's going to be seeing the bulk of the carries there, so I'd go with Ward.
Okay, there you have it. Ralph, let me ask you this. Some hesitation. Jokers99, always good to see him. He's got some concerns about Andre Johnson this week.
Oh.
Would you be concerned? Would you consider starting Sidney Rice instead of Andre Johnson?
You know, I do have concerns about Johnson myself. The Cincinnati Bengals just have a way with their bracket coverage to shut down a lot of these big-name receivers. However, if I'm going to choose between Sidney Rice and Andre Johnson, I'm going to go with Andre Johnson almost every time. You know, if you would have given me a different receiver, maybe a Roddy White, maybe a Greg Jennings, I would have picked either one of those two guys over Andre Johnson. But, no, if my choice is between Johnson and Sidney Rice, I'm going to go with Andre Johnson.
It's pretty simple. You never sit Andre Johnson, ever.
I'll agree with that logic. I actually have Andre Johnson in one of my leagues, and you best believe he's a go. Fantasy Football Insiders Radio, moving right along here on the Fantasy Sports Channel. This is how we do it. Week 6 going around the league. Mystery intrigue, Carolina Panthers, 1-3. You know, desperate for a win over here, and they just might have a solution, Ross, and that's because they head into Tampa Bay to take on those Buccaneers at 0-5.
Real battle of the Titans here, huh? Look, search high and low for studs in this one, and all I could come up with was the red-hot Kellen Winslow Jr., Look, he's the trusted safety valve of Josh Johnson, and I don't know about you guys, but I kind of like what I've been seeing from Josh Johnson. I know he's not. I know Freeman's going to eventually be the man there, but look, better fantasy quarterback than real quarterback, Josh Johnson for sure, but he is scoring some fantasy points when he plays there. I wouldn't recommend him as a start this week, but I like Kellen Winslow Jr. Carolina's been lit up by whatever tight ends have been playing against them. I look for Steve Smith and D'Angelo Williams to get back on track, or I should say on track. They haven't exactly done anything to get back on track this week. Tampa's D is pretty weak, and Carolina's got to get back to running the football. And I really think John Fox has to know that by now, and they need to get Steve Smith more involved, and who better to do it against than the Tampa Bay defense. Look, the dud in this one to me is Cadillac Williams. He's looked hurt. He's looked slow, all the things we expected of him. He had a few nice weeks, but I think it's time to put the dust cover back on the Cadillac. And as a result of that, my sleeper this week is Derek Ward, guys. I think he's looked better. He's looked faster. His numbers of late have been better. I think it's time for Derek Ward to start earning the paycheck that the Buccaneers gave to him, and I think this week he's going to start to do that. I think he's going to see an increased workload starting today.
Okay, and that does it for the Panthers at Buccaneers. Ross, before we move on, quick question. Turf Toe Johnny, is this guy ever going to turn it around, or is it time to drop this guy from your roster?
Well, as always, when someone says, should I drop him, you got to tell me who you're picking up instead of him. I think he's okay, and I think he's still going to chew up some carries, especially near the goal line from D'Angelo Williams. I think they're going to get back to that whole setup that they had last year. So depending on who you're going to drop him for, you know, I wouldn't. I mean, I still think he can come deep this season.
Well, if I could chime in here for a second. Look, I like what I've seen out of Turf Toe Johnny so far this season. Last week he looked explosive. However, what worries me about this guy is he's on the injury report every week. He's got that nagging Achilles. So he's going to be limited in practice going forward throughout the season. So, you know, to me, if he has a good game this week, he's a sell-high guy, you know, because I don't want to be nervous about starting him worrying about that Achilles each and every week.
Okay, another tough question coming in from the chat room, fellas. Donovan McRib, wearing the flak jacket going up against the Raiders, or Eli Manning, who's also got that plantar fasciitis, facing that stingy Mike Nolan defense over there in New Orleans this week. Throw it over to you first, Ross. Who do you like this week, Eli or McRib?
I'm going with the McRib here. I just think that the Giants are going to, you know, it's closer than you think, but, you know, if anybody saw Oakland play last week or even all season, their hearts are not in it. I think the Saints' defense is, they've given up 2 touchdowns and they have 10 interceptions on defense. I think the Giants are going to run the ball. I don't dislike Eli, but I really like McRib today against the Raiders at home with Jackson and Macklin. And Brent Celek, our guy, I like McNabb by a neck. I won't say by a nose, a little more than a nose.
By a rib?
I like him by a cracked rib.
Ralph, what's your take on Eli versus McRib?
I think it's very close also. I think I might go with Eli Manning here just because, you know, I look at that Philadelphia-Oakland matchup and I could see Philly putting up a lot of points in a very brief period of time. And I could see Philly pulling out McNabb maybe in the third quarter, maybe early in the fourth quarter. And actually, we might see a little bit more of Michael Vick today. So I think Eli Manning is going to be he's going to be involved. He needs to throw the ball to beat the New Orleans Saints. That could be a game that might go down to the last minute. So I like Manning here by a rib.
Okay, well, I think it is a very close decision to be made, and I do think that the Giants are going to blow out the Saints, to be honest with you.
Wow.
But I'm going to go with Donovan McRib here just because I think the Eagles are just going to be throwing the ball all over the field. And even if they do sit McNabb and Vic comes in at garbage time, McRib's going to get his numbers. And also there's a report out there that, you know, the Eagles are going to be shopping Mike Vick during the offseason, probably leading up to the draft. They're going to want to audition this guy. They're going to want to get him on the field. They're going to want to, you know, showcase him to the rest of the league because Mike Vick is not in the Eagles' plans moving forward. With that said, I'm going to go Donovan McRib for this week. Another question coming in from the chat room, guys. Jokers is in quite a predicament. He needs to pick up a kicker this week. He has a pretty stacked team. That's the problem. Who does he drop? Felix Jones, Donald Brown, I'd say no to those. Chester Taylor, and he also has the Steelers and the Vikings defense. Which guy do you drop there, Ross?
Well, hold on. If he needs to pick up a kicker, why doesn't he drop his other kicker? I mean, we're talking about kickers here, no?
Yeah. I'm with the Reverend, man. But who, go through the list again.
Well, you know, I think if there's anyone here, you drop Chester Taylor, but I don't know if you want to do that. Like you said, why not just drop your other kicker? Steelers defense or Vikings defense, I wouldn't drop any one of those. Taz brings up a good point. Why don't you try trading one of those defenses?
Yeah, here's what you do, unless you have Adrian Peterson. You take Chester Taylor and you take Minnesota's defense and you trade him to the guy who's got Adrian Peterson for a solid player. That's what you do.
All right, there you have it. He picked up Chester Taylor and dropped his kicker. So does he now? He has no kicker.
you got to drop Chester Taylor. You got to drop Chester Taylor. Unless you have Adrian Peterson, then you drop Felix Jones, who's never healthy.
Right. Okay. No way Mike Vick gets traded. Absolutely he does. The salary kicks up to like $5 or $6 million next year. Kevin Cobb's already proved that he's the quarterback of the future in Philadelphia. There's no reason to keep Mike Vick on that roster for $6 million next season. Shrewd move by the Eagles. You trade him on draft day. You get a nice draft pick for him. Absolutely,
yeah, we'll
that deal gets done.
I don't know what they think they're going to get for him, Rick.
Well, you know what? There's a lot of poor quarterback play out there around the league. So.
And it will continue if Vick ends up somewhere.
You telling me Oakland can't use him?
Yeah, they'll ruin him, too, even more than he is already. Yeah, sure. But I think
all
Oakland
right,
can't draft one.
Let's keep it moving here. Kansas City Chiefs, talk about some terrible play. Kansas City Chiefs 0-5 heading into Washington 2-3. We discussed the whole Jim Zorn situation a couple weeks ago. He's obviously going to be out of here. This team, they're both fighting for irrelevance. Let me ask you this, Ralph, before we discuss the stud duds and sleepers in this game. We had a comment in the chat room earlier in the show. They wanted to know, is this the week Jamaal Charles becomes the feature back in Kansas City?
You know, what does that mean, feature back in Kansas City? I mean, with that offensive line, yeah, will he get a few more carries? Yeah, I mean, I think he'll get some action. Look, the one thing that Charles has proven is that he can catch the football. And so in a PPR league, you know, he has a role. He has some relevance. You know, he might get a few carries, but, you know, there's not a lot of upside there, you know, unless they fix that offensive line in a hurry. You know, either, you know, Larry Johnson, Jamaal Charles, these guys, they're not going to help you win. I have Larry Johnson in one league. I haven't started him once this year, and I don't know what he's still doing on my team. So, I think Jamaal Charles will get some more carries, but, you know, I don't think he's going to do anything special in that, especially in this upcoming Siesta Bowl versus the Redskins.
Okay, Ralph, before we get into that stud duds and sleepers, just to put a wrap on the whole Mike Vick situation, $5 million is not a crazy number for a quarterback.
Yeah.
I don't think so. There's crazy owners. There's crazier owners out there. When you got a guy like Daniel Snyder, Al Davis running around, you know, $5 million for Mike Vick, when your quarterback's Jamarcus Russell or Jason Campbell, I don't think that's too unrealistic. We're going to wrap up the Mike Vick talk, though, because I've had enough of it. Rev, why don't you hit him with the stud duds and sleepers for the Chiefs at Redskins? Drop the hammer.
Oh, okay. Actually, I like Dwayne Bowe here as a stud. You know, KC made a point of getting him the ball last week. I think they'll do it again today versus an unimpressive secondary. He's caught 3 touchdowns in 4 games. Despite okay numbers versus the pass, The Redskins have allowed four touchdowns to wide receivers so far this year, and if KC is going to score any touchdowns, it's going to be through the air. The dud here, and look, a lot of people happen to like Chris Cooley. I don't like him so much this week. To me, he's a risky start. You know, yeah, he can always go off versus a KC defense that allowed at least six catches per week to tight ends in the first 3 weeks of the season, but the absence of left tackle Chris Samuels may mean that this tight end is going to stay in to block a little bit more often. So I don't see great things up ahead for Chris Cooley. I think Clinton Portis is another guy that I'm not too high on this week. You know, he's already shown that he's slow, he's sluggish, and without Samuels, I don't see how he has a good game. He doesn't have the support of a strong passing game. So what's the upside here? 50 yards, 60 yards, maybe? I think this is going to be a low-scoring game. It's going to be a field position game versus KC. And I think the Chiefs are going to be able to load up versus the run when, you know, they don't have too many receivers to worry about on that Redskin offense. You know, with the exception of the sporadic offerings of Santana Moss, there's really not much to worry about with the receivers. So Clinton Portis, I think, is going to be running into a lot of eight-man fronts this week. The sleeper here is Bobby Wade for the Kansas City Chiefs. He had a down week versus Dallas, but he leads the team in pass targets, and he's clearly Kansas City's number one slot guy over the decrepit Bobby Engram. This is going to be, as I said, the Siesta Bowl. Not a lot of points here. KC 16, Washington 10. KC gets his first week of the season, first win of the season.
Ralph, I asked you earlier about Jamaal Charles and the whole Kansas City running back situation. If you had to pick one running back for week number six on your fantasy football team, who would it be, Derek Ward, Jamaal Lewis, or Larry Johnson?
Oh, God. You know, I'll go with Jamaal Lewis. You know, I know his upside is like practically zero, but I know he's going to get a ton of carries. He's the number one back there. So maybe, just maybe, he'll get you a cheap one-yard touchdown.
Ross, any preference of those three jokesters, Derek Ward, Jamaal Lewis, Larry Johnson here?
Yeah, I'll take Derek Ward.
Yeah, I might just roll the dice. I think Jamaal Lewis is a safe pick. I think Derek Ward has more upside. Larry Johnson at this point of the game, and I have him, unfortunately, on one of my dynasty leagues, and he hasn't seen the light of day. Keep him on your bench for sure. Fantasy Football Insiders radio show each and every Sunday morning, 8:30 to 10 a.m., taking you up to the top of the hour. We've got about 23 minutes left until Tony Cincotta takes over your airwaves, and Fantasy Sports Channel brings you right up until kickoff time, 1 o'clock Eastern. Each and every day during the week, go to fsc.fm. We have live streaming of fantasy shows all day long, fantasy blogs from these two jokers, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini. Also, NFLDraftBible.com, putting out the weekly College Football Insiders newsletter, definitely a must-read. NFL draft information becoming available more and more as we approach, I think it's 184 days, something like that, until the NFL draft, less than 6 months, NFL draft time heating up. Sam Bradford, looks like his season could be over after re-injuring the shoulder. Early word is he has re-separated that shoulder, so he is likely to miss the rest of the regular season for Oklahoma. Jimmy Clausen, you know, could have really upped his stock yesterday with the win over USC. Almost pulled it out. Tony Pike, another quarterback that we like here at the NFL Draft Bible. I believe he's the top-rated senior quarterback. He has injured his left wrist, not his throwing wrist, but another guy I believe who will go in the first round. And then you guys got, you know, Jake Locker and Javon Sneed on the quarterback watch, and Dan Lefevre sneaking up there, maybe a second-round guy right now. But it's going to be a big, big year for the quarterbacks in the NFL Draft 2010. We'll be monitoring that on the All Access Football Radio. I never plug All Access Football Radio. What do you know? Go to blogtalkradio.com, All Access Football. We have shows each and every day, NFL draft, fantasy, college, NFL, UFL, you name it, we got it. Lots of interviews. We don't promote our interviews like we should be, but let's see. I think we had Jacoby Ford from Clemson was on this week. Some other top picks, Eric Norwood, the linebacker from South Carolina, he was on this week. So if you need the NFL draft fix, NFL draft Bible, Colt McCoy, we didn't even discuss. I think his stock is slipping and sliding, second, third round range now for Colt McCoy. Travel into Oakland, who is 1-4, Eagles 3-1. Ross Tradamus, take it away.
You got it. Real barn burner here, huh? Look, I think the Studniski, I know McNabb's going to have a good game today. I mean, we all know that he's going to throw for at least two or three, maybe even four touchdowns. I kind of like Brian Westbrook in this game. He missed a game. There was a bye week, and then he had six carries the next week. Look, he's demanding more playing time, and I think he's going to get it, at least in the first half of this game. And against Oakland's 31st-ranked run defense, that should be enough to make some fantasy points come alive. This is as good as it gets for Westbrook. I think if he can't get it done in the first half of this game today, guys, I think he's looking at a straight-up platoon with Shady McCoy. I think he's got to show in one half of football that he's deserving of starter status as opposed to split-carry status. And my favorite stud in this game is the Philadelphia defense, who I have ranked number one overall. Anyone who saw Oakland play offensively last week knows that their offense is indeed offensive, but it's offensive. I mean, they're just awful. Jamarcus Russell's clueless. It's just going to all fall apart today. I love the Eagles' D today. The dud, Michael Bush, and it isn't his fault. I don't think he can get excited over last week's touchdown. I like the guy as a player, but again, what team is he on? 3 yards a carry last week, and that includes garbage time. I can't recommend anyone on the Raiders for the rest of the season. Let's say that. Even Zach Miller is bumming me out this year. I can't get that excited about the Eagles' two receivers here, DeSean Jackson, Jeremy Maclin. I don't know how much they're going to be passing the ball. I think there's going to be dump-offs to Westbrook that go for touchdowns. I think Brent Celek gets a touchdown today. I don't know how much the Eagles are going to go deep because really, do they need to? The sleeper here is Shady McCoy. And by the way, I love Brett Salk. I forgot to mention him in the stud category. I think he gets easily, 75 yards and a touchdown in this game today. But I just don't think there's a need for McNabb to risk those downfield passes when everything else is going to be open. And Andy Reid will probably see that, although with him, you never know. Sleeper here, I like Shady McCoy. After it's 31-3, and Westbrook is out of the game, there's going to be some garbage time for McCoy. And look, no one cares when you score your fantasy points as long as you score them. And it's not as if he's going to be sitting on the bench all game long. Anyway, he'll come in and spell Westbrook one of every three or four series. So, and there's going to be a lot of work to be done on offense for the Eagles who are going to have the ball the whole game. So, I think McCoy is worth a decent flex play on a bye week in a pretty deep league. And the Eagles are going to roll in this one. 31-3.
Oh yeah, it's going to be ugly, baby. It's going to be uglier than the tri-state area weather in this one. Back over to the chat room, guys. Nikki the Bull, we're going to start calling him the last of the Mohegans. He wants to know which wide receiver is he going to play out of Lance Moore, remember me, Devery Henderson, Derek Mason is the guy that stands out here, or Mario Manningham. Ross, Manningham, Lance Moore, Derek Mason, or Devery Henderson?
Oh, wow.
Non-PPR, 3-point bonus for over 7 receptions. So, who's going to be highly targeted here, I guess, would be the question. Derek Mason, to me, is the number one guy. He stands out.
I think he's going to get the most targets. I'm not sure. I see Manningham as like a second and a half receiver with Knicks coming back into the fold. I think I would go with Derek Mason here. I think that the Ravens offense is underrated, and I think Mason's a big part of that. He's underrated too. I go with Mason.
Absolutely. Ralph, Phillip Rivers against Denver or Matt Hasselbeck against Arizona this week? 40% chance of rain in Seattle.
I don't know if the Reverend's with us, but I'll tell you right now.
Is the Reverend, go ahead. Take it away, Ralph.
I'm going with like what I've seen from him. I still don't like that offensive line in Seattle, so I'm going to go with Rivers here, but I think it's closer. I'm going to say it's closer than most people think. I know you're not a big Matty Hass fan. I think when he's in the lineup, that's obviously a different team, and I think he'll get some work done today, but I like Rivers and that San Diego offense to actually win that game against Denver.
Okay. Quick programming reminders, guys. We got the Reverend Ralph is back with us. Quick programming reminder, Tuesday at 3 p.m., Saturdays at 10 p.m., Fantasy Taz of the fantasyfootballwizard.com. You want to check out that show, Talking Trash with Taz, Tuesdays at 3, Saturday at 10. We're taking you up to 10 o'clock here on the Fantasy Sports Channel. Tony Cincata is going to take it away at 10 a.m. He is lighting it up on fire. He's now on ESPN 1420, I believe. So you want to check out that show. Some real good quality professional broadcasting taking place on the Fantasy Sports Channel. And don't forget about Twitter. We're all on there. You want to check us out, NFL Draft Bible, Fantasy Football Wizard, Fantasy Taz, I believe, is his Twitter, Tony Cincata, the three amigos over here. We're plugging it all away. Let's see. 15 minutes left. Let's keep them moving with the stud duds and sleepers. Going around the league, I'm going to toss it over to the good Reverend Ralph Mancini to break down the Arizona Cardinals, 2-2, traveling into the Seattle Seahawks, who are also 2-3. Ralph, why don't you break it down for the people now?
Yeah, I love Kurt Warner in this game. Had 300 yards passing versus Houston last week. Today goes against a Seattle defense that is getting healthier, but it doesn't have the type of secondary that can stay with Arizona's plethora of targets in the passing game. The Cardinals are a passing team all the way. They have shown no commitment to the run. Go with Kurt Warner. I think he's a safe pick. The dud here, you know, a lot of people happen to like him this week. I don't, and that's Mr. Matt Hasselbeck. To me, he's a risky play. He's playing with a makeshift offensive line. He must get rid of the ball quickly versus an underrated Cardinal defensive line if he hopes to have any chance of putting up great numbers. Look, the Cardinals aren't the Jaguars. Matt Hasselbeck is not going to have the same type of performance he had last week. And then also, Julius Jones is a dud. He's had 23 carries for only 59 yards over the past 2 weeks. He's losing carries to Edgerrin James. And the Cardinals are actually the number one ranked defense versus the run. So you keep Julius Jones on the bench this week. The sleeper here is Arizona's defense. You know, even if they give up some yards in the passing game, I think they should be good for a few sacks, a couple of turnovers with their blitz pressure versus a depleted offensive line. I like Arizona all the way here, 30-20 over Seattle.
I agree. I think Arizona on the road this week. Moving right along, Ross, are the Titans ever going to get a win? 0-5, traveling into New England. Man, poor weather. When is it ever going to stop for these Titans? I mean, this has been a season from hell for these guys, Ross. Why don't you break down the Titans, 0-5, who head up north to New England, where the Patriots are 3-2, coming off a loss.
Yeah, it may stop, but it's not going to be this week. You know, Wes Welker's back, not even on the injury report. So, you know, Brady, Moss, Welker, check, check, check. You know they're going to have a good day. I kind of like the New England defense today. I think they're going to be up big early. I think they're going to take Chris Johnson out of the game, which it's been shown that you can do that. When you get up on them, they bail on that. I think Kerry Collins is going to be forced to throw the ball in bad weather. And I think that equals turnovers. So I like the New England D a lot today. I think the dud in this game is Sammy Morris and the rest of the running back stable for the Patriots. Look, both because of the Patriots and because of the Titans, I just think that you know, New England's not going to have to run the ball a lot today, and they're not, when they get up, they're not like, okay, let's just run the clock out. That's not how they roll there, and I don't think Sammy Morris is going to have a decent day. And look, you know, let's break out of the fantasy thing and get into reality. I think the Patriots need to take a little heat, and Belichick needs to take a little heat for not coming up with a running back. I mean, they could have drafted a running back, and they drafted Lawrence Maroney. Maybe they were a little gun-shy because of that. And, you know, it wouldn't surprise me to see Maroney get cut sooner rather than later. But, guys, they don't have a running back, and I think that's putting added pressure on Brady that he doesn't need, and I think the team's suffering because of it. But, you know, let's get back to it. The sleeper, I think earlier in the show we discussed the fact that Benjamin Watson is probably not going to play today because of a head injury. And to me, Rev, that makes your boy Chris Baker, the touchdown maker, a pretty decent bye week sleeper as far as tight ends go. Look, you know the tight end's always a red zone target with Brady. Between that and Watson's head injury and the fact that I think New England's going to be passing the ball for a lot of scores today, I think Chris Baker's a pretty decent bye week fill-in at tight end this week. I'm going New England 34, Tennessee 13 in this one. They do not get a win. They don't even get a sniff of it today.
What a shame. And how long until we see Vince Young? Lots of rumors they might start playing some Wildcat over there. Going back over to the chat room, we got a question coming in. Ralph, I want to ask you this. Process of elimination, he has to start for these guys. Long list here. Calvin Johnson, Thomas Jones, Mike Sims-Walker, Marcus Colston, Kevin Walter, Donald Driver. I'm going to tell you like this. Calvin Johnson, you take him out of the lineup, very good chance he's not going to play today. The other guy I don't like there personally, Kevin Walter. I think I see Taz does like Walter over Colston. Do you agree or disagree with that logic, Ralph?
No, I'll go with Colston. You know, he is the number one target there in New Orleans. Drew Brees will try to look for Colston. Yeah, I know he's going to be covered by Corey Webster, but he has a significant height advantage over Mr. Webster. And I think that, you know, Brees is just going to throw it up high. I think he's going to be good for at least a short touchdown. He's a major factor in the red zone area. I'm going with Colston over Walter.
Okay, Ross, Cincinnati versus Houston, defenses we're talking, or Carolina at Tampa Bay, gets negative 5 points if you give up 30 points or more. Cincinnati versus Houston, Carolina at Tampa Bay, I think Carolina is the way to go there. Do you agree or disagree?
I disagree. I'm going with Cincinnati in this one.
I'm sorry. Okay, Cincinnati, you're going with Cincinnati. We disagree. Trying to get it all in here, it's Chris Johnson, not Calvin Johnson, from the previous scenario, which makes things a little bit tougher. I still think you take Kevin Walter out of the equation. I do think that you then put Chris Johnson, Thomas Jones, Sims Walker, and you know what? I'm going to go Colston over Driver there just because I think that game's going to be a shootout. We got to keep it moving here on the Fantasy Football Insiders Radio, moving right along. We get in there, Buffalo Bills. 1-4, taking on the New York Jets in this cruddy weather. Ralph, our residential Jets guru, take it away.
Yeah, this perhaps is going to be the biggest blowout of the week, and you have to love Thomas Jones here as your stud. Look for the Jets to give Jones a little bit more than the 13 carries per game that he's been averaging so far this season versus a depleted defense that has lost linebackers Kavika Mitchell, Marcus Buggs for the year. The Bills are the fourth worst defense in defending the run by allowing 155 yards rushing per game. I also like Braylon Edwards here. His size and speed should be a factor versus Buffalo's undersized corners in the red zone. The dud here, Terrell Owens. You know, he'll be stuck on Revis Island this week. His four catches last week were a season high. Buffalo is doing a poor job of getting Owens the ball. The offensive line isn't giving Trent Edwards enough time to throw. What a mess. The sleeper here is Leon Washington. He's not being used much, but this is a matchup made in heaven. The Bills don't have anyone that can stay with him on the outside or in the passing game. I think Leon Washington is a nice flex play today. The New York Jets all over Buffalo this week, 33-13.
Ralph, quickly, what's your interpretation on Sanchez? We've got a five-game body of work to kind of go on here, and I think it's the thing I'm interested to see is how he adapts to playing a team that had 2 weeks to prepare for him. Do you think it's going to become more difficult for him now that there's some tape out there, some game film to watch, And especially this week with the Bills, they had 2 weeks to prepare. Well, the Jets had the bye week. The Bills' bye week is actually not for a couple weeks. But, you know, having that week off, what's your take on Mark Sanchez so far early on?
Well, I think the two things he needs to focus on is, number one, ball security. And he did a little bit of a better job at it last week. And then the other thing is sometimes he tends to play in a little bit too much of a frenetic fashion. He needs to calm down. When the play is not there, he needs to throw the ball away, and he needs to focus on ball security. If he does those things, I think he should be okay. And with Braylon Edwards in there, you know, I think that he is going to improve steadily this season.
Ross, Sunday Night Football in America, the Chicago Bears 3-1 with the recently acquired Gaines Adams, who will be inactive for this game. They picked him up for a second rounder during the week. They head into Atlanta, where the Falcons are 3-1. Break it down, stud duds and sleepers, baby.
You got it. Lots of points here. You got Ryan and Cutler. You got Forte and Turner. You got Gonzalez, and what they tell us is going to be Greg Olsen returning to form. Look, I think this comes down to a battle of Chicago's pass rush against the offensive line of Atlanta. Atlanta's only given up 2 sacks. Chicago has 14 sacks. Something has to give. And I am saying it's the Bears' pass rush. I like Matt Ryan in this game a lot. I think he's going to light it up. I think he's a better play than Jay Cutler. I think the Falcons are going to win this game. Look, you know who all the studs are in this game. Devin Hester is a dud, guys. He has not impressed me. Johnny Knox is targeted more. Johnny Knox is faster. It's Johnny Knox all the way, baby. Well, look, the Bears wide receivers are a crapshoot. You know, there's better ways to go if you have other players than to know. Is it Bennett? Is it Knox? Is it Olsen? Is it Hester? Who's going to get the targets from Cutler? They spread it out. There's no number one choice there. I think eventually it's actually going to be Knox, but it's not happening this week. Look, I have a sleeper in this game that I like a lot, and that's Michael Jenkins of the Falcons. Look, Charles Tillman's going to be on Roddy White, and he's really the only decent cover guy that Chicago has, as far as I'm concerned. I think Ryan's going to find Jenkins for a touchdown, maybe even two. I'm going out and saying that. I think Jenkins is a classic bye week fill-in at wide receiver. It's a matchup situation that I like a lot. I like the Falcons in this game 28-17. I think that Matt Ryan gets it done.
Matt Ryan gets it done. Ross, quickly, who do you like better, Matt Ryan or Carson Palmer this week?
I like Matt Ryan better.
Okay, I'm going to go Carson Palmer myself against the Texans. I think that game's going to be a shootout. I'd take Kurt Warner over Matt Ryan as well. One more game. Break it down, Reverend. Broncos 5-0. Is this the week they finally lose? Heading into San Diego, led by the LaDainian pom-pom Tomlinson cheerleader, San Diego Chargers 2-2.
Well, look, we already spoken about no Sean Moreno. He's a 5-carat stud. Go with him. Darren Sproles is a dud this week. The little man didn't get a single carry versus Pittsburgh, thanks to the return of LT, LaDainian Tomlinson. San Diego is more of a passing team anyway due to their weak offensive line. Sit Darren Sproles, and the sleeper here is Tony Scheffler. He played well versus San Diego last year, and over the past 4 games, San Diego has given up 1 touchdown per game to opposing tight ends. I like Denver 23-20 in a tight one.
Back at it again next week, same time, same place, 8:30 to 10 on the Fantasy Sports Channel. We are the Fantasy Football Insiders. For Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini, we're going to be here all season long bringing you up to the Fantasy Football Championship ring celebration. We're all going to take out our rings and shine them in together now. Break it down, Steve.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
Y'all ready for this? I like to move it, move it. 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 Tip it up, go.
Welcome to the big show.
Simply,
wait.
breaks a couple of tackles. Headlock, I don't go. He could.